Drive with Julian Clover.
Getting you home.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Time to introduce you to my guest. Simon Glenister runs Noise Solution. It's a local organisation using music to change lives. Hello, Simon.
Hello.
Thank you very much for coming in. Now, the organisation as such is effectively East Anglian-wide, but you're kind of looking to push a little bit further into Cambridgeshire.
Yeah, so we've been operating for the last 8 years, as I say, across the East Anglian region, and we've been working for the last year across Cambridgeshire, doing lots of work with young people who are not in mainstream education. Mm. But we're starting to push up into the sort of March, Wisbeach areas. So, yeah, we're seeing the organisation slowly start to scale.
Mm. Now, we say using music to change lives. Mm. Now, what sort of lives are needing to be changed?
So, predominantly, we are working with young people who might be school non-attenders, might be facing mental health.
Just feel like they don't want to go.
Well, it's probably a little bit more complicated than that. They're probably
Their home life is difficult,
barriers.
I guess, the other issue.
Yeah, they might be school phobic. There might be mental health challenges that are preventing them accessing mainstream education. Mm. We work with young offenders. We work with young people who've been excluded. People facing all sorts of a wide variety of challenges.
For a wide range of backgrounds as well?
Very. Yeah, absolutely. So, for instance, if I give you an example of a typical young person we've worked with, I started working with a young man a few years ago who had just come out of prison, had been there for 6 months, hadn't engaged with any of his youth offending teams or social work teams, hadn't engaged with school for a couple of years, and we did a 10-week piece of work with him. And through that process, he identified that what we did was the thing that stopped him offending. So he was at that point getting arrested 3 or 4 times a month. Mm. It's estimated he was costing something in the region of £80,000 a year. We did a small 10-week piece of work with him, and he self-identified that this was the thing that stopped him offending.
Mm. And I guess it's logical. If somebody doesn't care to go to school, they're probably equally not particularly going to want to listen to a social worker or an authority figure. Does that all tend to run?
Well, what we find, I have a lot of experience of working for local authority teams myself, and I started off doing that 20 years ago. And what I found was that there's often an underlying current in those engagements with young people and professional services, in that there's often a slight power imbalance, and there's often a feeling, if it's not spoken, underlying what's going on, that, you know, that the professional is the expert and the family or the young person
needs to listen to
the authority figure. Presenting as a musician, you sidestep all those issues.
I was going to say, because there's an automatic built-in suspicion, isn't there?
There can be.
I sometimes feel with certain sets of people, like, well, you know, what's your go? You know,
yes.
I guess it's journalists and politicians. That's possibly the nearest one I can think of. But if you're, you know, going through some tough times, the social worker from the council, it's possibly not necessarily going to be your friend.
The motivations will be fabulous, I don't doubt. But if you've been in a situation where often, I mean, the amount of work that social workers are placed under, it's very difficult for them to deliver the things that they want to do.
It's sort of about time, maybe, to a certain extent. You know, you've broken down the barriers by not coming directly from the council, at least, although you're going to be recommended by them sometimes. You're not the authority figure there, and you're the friendly musician.
Yeah, we're working in partnership with those teams.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a them or us. We are working together.
Yeah, of course. No.
We are an alternative way, a different way of approaching working with these young people that we've proven over the last 8 years is a very effective way of doing it. So we're working with young people who are, as I say, prolific non-attenders, prolific offenders, facing mental health challenges, yet we're seeing within our programme 88% attendance and 70% of those people complete the programmes as well.
And what is it particularly about the music? How do you approach it?
So we'll walk into somebody's home. So we'll work in the home initially with the young person. And the starting point is, what are you interested in? Which is actually, you'd think that would be the standard way of doing things, but it really, really isn't. And we see with lots of more formal education, music work, that those organisations will often do music at kids without doing music with kids. Whereas we'll take a slightly different approach and walk in and say, look, what do you want to do? We'll sit down in front of YouTube. We'll listen to what they want to do. We won't pretend to be an expert in their music, but we'll help them together, sort of in a much more democratic way, use the technology at our fingertips to create the music that they want to make. So it's very much their process.
So you're working a lot with the computer side,
yes,
of the music.
Lots of music technology. Not exclusively, but there's a lot of it. We spend a lot of time making hip-hop and grime and drum and bass and trance and dubstep and trap and whatever it is that young person identifies. But you'd be surprised. I mean, also, because we ask people what they want to do, you might expect to be doing some kind of gangster rap thing with a kid, but I've been really surprised on occasions.
Well, it's interesting because you probably realise, we get a lot of young musicians in here, and very often, when you ask them what their influences are, yes, they'll name the latest artist, be it hip hop or be it the Ed Sheeran style of music. But actually, then all of a sudden they'll surprise you, and somebody'll say the Doors, and you'll think, well, hang on, how did that happen? And it's parents.
Yes,
and it's not necessary. Okay, there will be the I hate my parents' music thing, there will be, at least amongst those who are serious about their music, being able to identify those acts, those artists who have a something.
Yeah, we had a kid last week, referral from a care home, a young lad in care, and he wanted to do Dolly Parton. Who knew? I've had another young lad I worked with who was quite autistic, who was a brony. I don't know if you've come across bronies.
Brony? I don't think I have.
Brothers of My Little Pony.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's like...
And My Little Pony is back. There's a new movie and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a huge user group of probably young men between the ages of 14 to 25, often autistic. It's like the step on from the collecting Thomas the Tank Engine stuff, and they progress to brony.
So for whatever reason, they can identify.
Well, it's a moral roadmap. Everything within that presentation is right or wrong in a very clear way.
Okay.
And there's a certain sense of irony that comes with it as well. There's some humour in that process, but they sort of wear that as a badge of pride as well. Really interesting. So yeah, I spent 6 months making American pop punk cover brony songs with one young lad. You don't know unless you ask them.
Yeah, and then it comes through, and as how long? Is there a set amount of time that you might spend?
We work for them for 2 hours a week over a 10-week period. We do the first 5 weeks at home, so we'll go and engage them where they are, which is also quite unusual, unfortunately. Mm. And then what we'll normally do is progress them to some kind of commercial recording studio for the last five sessions of that set of time.
And I know you mentioned earlier you're looking at expanding into Cambridgeshire,
yes,
not necessarily into Cambridge, although I guess that's
part of
the mix, but also up towards the Fens as well.
We are expanding, and one of the things I wanted to say was that we're very, very keen to identify anybody who would like to come and be a musician and work for North Solution.
What sort of person do you need? Is this a case of you get the musician and you give them, if you like, the social type of training that they're needed in order to go into these environments?
Absolutely. One of the things, because we present as authentic musicians rather than social workers or care coordinators or mental health workers, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for authentic working musicians who have a really, really good grasp of music technology using computers. We call them digital audio workstations, so programs like Reaper or Logic or Pro Tools. Anybody who has experience of using those tools, but also has experience of playing in bands, so they might be able to play guitar or play a piano or play drums, and people who are interested in making a social impact with those musical skills.
And are you looking for some musician of a particular age range, or upper age or lower age perhaps?
Not particularly. If they have those skills and they have the ability to engage with young people and to work with them in the way that we found to be really effective, then yeah, I'm interested in hearing from anybody. So we have a page on the website, www.noisesolution.org, and there's a little tab there about us, and then there's a page in there about wanting to work for Noise Solution and the kind of skills you need and some contact details. So I think the email is info@noisesolution.org. So if anybody knows anybody or is somebody who has those skills around music technology and can play a few instruments maybe as well and wants to make a social difference working with young people, then please do get in touch.
And you were mentioning to me before we started officially at least that you've been looking into the effectiveness of all of this.
And yeah, so
I guess these things are difficult to prove as such, but there does seem to be some evidence.
I don't think they are difficult, actually. I think actually music and arts projects have been fantastically remiss at proving that what they do is effective. And what I've done over the last couple of years, I spent 2 years at Cambridge University looking at what the underpinning processes are for the work that we do and why it works. And we've used a number of established well-being scales that have been developed by the NHS and used nationally by people like the UK government and Ipsos Mori. And they give us a picture of what well-being looks like across the UK and a tool with which to measure it. And we've used that tool to measure what we're doing as well. And what we found is that we're statistically significant in impacting on well-being, which is a very posh way of saying we're really, really good at what we do. And it does work, and it is us that's doing it. And we know if you impact on well-being, then you also impact on health outcomes and education outcomes and engagement outcomes and all those things that are actually costing the UK quite a lot of money with the young people that the services that we're talking about might be struggling to engage with. We're proving we can engage them, and we're proving that we're effective in impacting on those young people.
Okay, well, Simon, very interesting to hear about your work. I do maybe pop back sometime and give us a little update.
Love
on
to.
Things.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hope you find some local musicians who are interested. It is Noise Solution, the organisation that Simon runs. Google them, easy to find, and you can follow the links as described by Simon there. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.